Welcome to the podcast of Life Change Church, where we exist to love people to life change. We hope that this podcast is both challenging and encouraging to you. Enjoy the message.
All right, well, hey, good morning, and we are still jumping into our summertime series entitled Stories, but as always, we've got some incredible things going on this summer, so July is actually like a huge month for Life Change. So I know it's crazy, but I'm giving you announcements like every time before. But there's a lot of things kind of going on, so just want to remind you of those. So one of those is Student Life. So Student Life has ramped up for the summer, and they are actually meeting every week. So they are meeting tonight at 5 p.m. And I'll just tell you this, if you are grades like 6th through 12th, you won't want to miss it. I believe it is a kickball water balloon something or other. I don't know. But I got invited, and I accepted, so I'm going to be there, and I'm going to compete in some kickball water stuff as well. I'll just throw that out there, so whatever team they put me on, I'm playing to win. I'm just throwing that out there, but they are competing against each other as well, so if you're a student 6th through 12th, make sure you check that out, and then actually this week, this Friday, they're leaving to go to the Student Life camping trip, so that starts, and they're meeting here this Friday at 3:30. They're going to leave about 4, and they'll return during Sunday's second service. So if you need more information on that camping trip, there's information at the Connect desk, or you can see Caleb Nilo or Denise Weaver. And then another thing going on in July is the Life Change at Velvet event. That's July 30th. So if you have not noticed or realized what we're doing, we're actually taking Life Change on the road, and we're going to do one service at 10:30 on July 30th. So 10:30 July 30th. We're going to do one service at Velvet Ice Cream, and what we're going to do is we're going to celebrate with baptisms at the river. And when we first set this up, I was a little nervous. I'm thinking like, man, it's going to be a little rough. Like, I'm going to try to baptize people, and like, there's going to be no water whatsoever, so I'm like digging a hole and putting people into rocks. But I went out there this week, and let me just tell you, the water is flowing, so it will come down by the time, obviously, then, and but we will be ready to baptize people in the river at Velvet Ice Cream. It's going to be a blast. And then right after that, we're going to go into a church picnic. It will be potluck style, so that means bring your favorite dish to share with everybody. Bring your favorite, like, main dish, side dish, dessert, whatever. Bring that and be ready to share as we're going to do a church picnic. And then we are, the church is actually providing all, like, the paperware and the drinks, but just bring a side dish as well. And there is a sign-up for setup, so it'll be a little bit different. We won't have all the serve team that goes on so on a regular Sunday morning, but we still do need people to set up a little bit. So there's a sign-up sheet for setup that'll start at 9 o'clock on that Sunday morning. So if you would, sign up at the connection desk for that, or you can see Tanya Bergethen. And then finally, the Go Group is meeting tonight at 6 p.m., and they're getting ready to hand out book bags and school supplies to a local apartment complex in here. And there's actually a tub at the welcome desk where we can take some of the school supplies, and we'll put them in book bags and then hand those out. So if you want to really be a part of that, you can come tonight, or you can bring stuff for those tubs and for those book bags. But I'm pumped today because we are actually jumping back into the series, and we're going in with another story of really somebody within this church, and it's going to be an incredible story. And what we've done really through this series is we've looked at some stories from the Bible that maybe we haven't heard of for a while. Maybe we heard them when we were like in Sunday school or vacation Bible school, and really we're listening to these stories and they're encouraging our faith. But what we're also doing is we're listening to stories of people within this congregation as well. Stories that really allow us to hear this and see, man, you know what, we can connect with them and allow us to hear their story and apply some of the things that they're doing in their life to help us grow in our faith as well. And what we've learned through this series is this, is that faith unlocks a legacy. Faith unlocks a legacy. And again, it comes from Hebrews chapter 11, which I've been going over every week because it's our memory verse. But Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 2, and it says this about faith. It says, faith means being sure of the things we hope for and knowing that something is real, even if we do not see it. Faith is the reason we remember great people who lived in the past. Right? So faith is the reason we remember people. If you go through Hebrews chapter 11, it's this list of all these heroes in the Bible. And the reason there even is a list there is because of their faith. I think we see from our own lives and we see from other people's lives, what we can really see and hold on to is their faith, because that's what unlocks a legacy. So today, we're going to get to hear the incredible story of Shannon Mangan. It's just an incredible story of faith. So if you would, welcome me. Well, please welcome Shannon Mangan to the stage here. Well, Shannon, it's just an incredible honor to have you up here. It's an incredible honor to have you share your story. I know I've heard your story a couple times and parts of it, and even more. I will warn you, though, we sat down this week, and it was an hour and like 15 minutes long, so we will do our best to stay within time. But we'll start off. Let's just get to know you a little bit. So if you would maybe share a little bit about your upbringing and a little bit about yourself.
Okay. Hello? Oh. Okay, so I was just sitting thinking right before you brought me up here about how my life, I feel like it kind of parallels David in the Bible. Like, David was the least of the least, and that was me. He made a lot of stupid mistakes, and that was me. And the one thing, though, that was great about him was that he loved God. And I love God so much. So the beginning of the story is, if it was possible to come from under the tracks instead of the wrong side of the tracks, yeah, that's where I came from. We were very, very, very poor. My parents separated and divorced when I was really young, and my mom remarried a guy that was very abusive. So I grew up in a home that had a lot of domestic violence. My mom was beaten within an inch of her life more times than I can count, and it's really scary when you're a kid to watch your mom going through something like that. I'm the oldest of five kids, and so I really felt like I needed to protect them all the time. But we were really kind of neglected. My mom worked as hard as she could work, but because of that, she wasn't home a lot. And I was kind of left to be the surrogate mom to my brothers and sisters. And we didn't have food and, you know, clean clothes and things like that that most kids take for granted these days. We had pretty much nothing in our refrigerator, and, you know, we were given food by WIC or welfare or whatever, and so, I mean, that would all get eaten, like, within a week, and the rest of the month we're sitting there trying to scrounge, and then, you know, my mom wasn't home to do the laundry or anything, so I was kind of the dirty kid and, you know, smelly, and I didn't have any friends or anything, but, you know, I didn't really mind. I had a dad that was awesome, and he took me and my sister every weekend. He was a weekend dad, but he was a great weekend dad. And I remember the thing that I loved the most was coming with him on Friday nights and getting a bath. Like, the first bath that I had was soap all week long. And I would get clean clothes and clean pajamas, and he would get us pizza. And it was just a wonderful, wonderful time to be with him. And then we would get to be with him, you know, Saturday and Sunday, and we would go to church on Sunday. And then we would go back to our moms, and the whole cycle would start all over again. So that's the beginning.
So, and I think even some of your story, right? So at age 10, you were actually able to go live with your dad, correct?
Yeah, I forgot to tell you about that part. Yeah, when I was about 10, my mom just left and left all of us kids in the care of my stepdad, the abusive one. And after about 3 days, he called my real dad and was like, you need to come get these girls because I don't know what to do with them. And he called my grandparents and got them to take the rest of the kids, the other three. And at that time, my dad said, enough is enough. I cannot watch my girls go through this anymore. And they went to court to get custody of me and my sister. And it was a yucky court battle. And my mom's sister had to testify against her and everything. So it was bad, but my dad did end up getting custody of me and my sister, which was a huge relief to us because now we could have food and clothes and stuff.
Yeah, so kind of your upbringing. So that's kind of your upbringing. It really kind of led into your family life now. So maybe share a little bit about your family life now and kind of the process it took to get there as far as the marriage is.
That's the bad part. So, yeah, I went to live with my dad, and he took us to church all the time, and It was good. I mean, I got saved at age 9 at church, and I didn't kind of really know what it was all about or anything, but I was like, yeah, I want to be saved. I want to have Jesus in my heart. So when I was 16, you know, starting to get into boys and things like that, I ended up pregnant my junior year. And I married the boy and spent my senior year being married, which was really weird. at school and everything. But we had a miscarriage, and then ended up pregnant again, and was 4 months pregnant with my daughter Brittany when I graduated. She was born that December. I stayed married to him for 4 years, and then, of course, things don't usually last when you get married in high school. It's not a good idea. So anyway, I met a guy at work, and he showed me some attention, so I thought that was awesome, and I married him. And we had a child, my second daughter, and stayed married to him for 10 years. We went to church, you know, and I was really busy at church, like doing all the things that church people do, teaching classes and singing and, you know, being a bus captain, and I you name it, I did it. I was as busy as I could be, and I thought, you know, that was what serving God was about, you know. Let's see how much stuff we can do and be awesome for him. But, again, I was not happy inside, and I battled depression and anxiety and stuff a lot. Ended up getting into a relationship with a married man at work, and my second marriage broke up because of that. I came home one day from work, and the pastor of my church and my husband were in my kitchen with my clothes in a trash bag and said, you need to resign from the church, and you need to leave right now. And so I took my trash bag, and my husband had gotten temporary custody of my two girls, and I left. And didn't quite know what to do, but I was like, you know, I'll land on my feet. This will be fine. Got myself an apartment. I ended up getting my girls back. We had our, you know, and I was like, okay, whatever. I'm going to keep going. Things are going to be all right. my dad came over one day, and he sat me down, and he said, you know, I need to talk to you. I was like, all right, shoot. So he said, you know, it's okay if you don't want to be married to your husband anymore, but that does not give you the right to break up someone else's marriage. And I thought about it for a minute. I was like, you know, you're right. So I broke it off with him and decided I was going to be no man. I did not need a man. I'm, you know, just going to be who I am. And still, the whole God thing was there, but not really here. So anyways, after that, I broke it off with him, and really, the church that I was going to at the time, since I have been kicked out of the church that I grew up in, there was a pastor that, it was actually a guy that I grew up with, and he was in the church and stuff. Well, God had called him to preach, so he had his own church, and he came over to my house one day, and he said, you know what, God's not mad at you. Like, you can come to my church anytime you want. Nobody's going to look at you any differently. Just come to church. So I was like, all right. So I came to church, and I had my head down low for a really long time. But every single week he preached, God's not mad at you. God's not mad at you. God's not mad at you. And so after hearing that for a really long time, I finally decided to, you know, believe it, that God wasn't mad at me. And I really started living for him and being excited to go to church again and be excited about my life. And that's when I met Ben, my husband that I'm married to now, and we've been married 14 years. It was whirlwind romance. We met in January. We got engaged in May, and we got married in August. And we were pregnant with Kyla the following year after that. So everything happened really, really quick. But we've been together ever since, and things always haven't been easy. We've had our ups and downs, too, but we've stuck it out because we're both really stubborn, and also because we had gone to a marriage conference earlier in our marriage when we were having some troubles and stuff, and what we learned at the marriage conference was when you get married, it's not just a union of two. God is in your marriage. It's a union of three, and so no matter how mad I would get at Ben, I would always think, you know what, I don't care. I can give up on him all day long, but I'm not giving up on God. I'm married to God. So if he wants to be divorced from me, he's going to have to do it because I'm not going anywhere. And I didn't care. And God kept us strong through that. We were able to overcome.
Yeah, that's an incredible part of your story, too, as far as even like the journey of faith that God kind of took you through growing up. A little bit rougher, but then having a dad that kind of poured into you, even when the decisions you were making necessarily weren't always the right way, but God was always there. And then just hearing that story, if he's not mad at you, being there ready to go too, and then finally getting to that point where, like, not only were you inviting Christ in your life, but you even invited God and you invited Christ into your marriage, which obviously made a huge difference too. So jumping onto that too, go through one of the things, I think your story of faith, there's a hard thing that kind of happened that really kind of grew your faith, that you kind of had to overcome. And really what I talked about and we kind of shared from hearing your story is the reliance on God that you had to have. And God put a situation in your life where you had to completely rely on God. So share a little bit about that.
Yeah, during one of our really rough times that Ben and I were having, I was actually ready to leave the marriage almost. It was that bad. My middle daughter, Lauren, she was spunky and fun and beautiful in every way, but she got bullied a lot at school. In fact, her freshman year, she got beat up 6 times. One of the times ended her up in the hospital. So, you know, she had a really huge struggle. And like I said, Ben and I were having some troubles, and she had trouble with Ben. The whole step-parent thing wasn't going very well. But it was the 4th of July, 2011. we went boating that day. And had a good time, you know, like people do on the 4th of July. Lauren decided not to come. She wanted to go with her boyfriend. And we said, okay. And she was going to go watch the fireworks that night with him. So when we got back from boating, we went to bed. And we knew she'd be home late. So we didn't think anything about it. About 9 o'clock that night, we heard a pounding on the door. And someone was at the door. And they just said, Lauren's been in an accident. We don't know what's going on. We just know she's in the hospital. She has tubes sticking out of her everywhere. You need to come. And so we rushed to the hospital. And when we got there, they put us in this little room all by ourselves. Like, it wasn't just the waiting room. We went rushing in. And they said, you need to sit in this room and wait till the doctor can come and talk to you. So I was like, okay, of course, you know me. I'm the mom. I want to see my kid. So every person that came in there kept asking me, are you guys all right? Do you need something to drink? And I kept saying, no, I need to see my kid. Like, I want to see my daughter. What is the problem? Well, you need to talk to the doctor first. I said, fine, send him in. Everybody but the doctor came in. And the police came in and asked us for our IDs, which I thought was really weird. He just wanted to make sure he was talking to the right people. And I said, what's the matter? You know, I know she's in an accident. Was she the one driving? He was like, no. I said, well, then what's the matter? Why won't anybody tell me what's going on? The doctor came in a little bit after that, and he had told me that she did not survive the accident. And I remember just screaming, no, 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 at the top of my lungs, like as many times as I could. I don't even know how many times or for how long that I did it. Ben sat there with Kyla. She was 6 at the time, and they didn't say a word. And I was just screaming. Finally, when I calmed down, the nurse came in and they said, we'll take you to see her now. So I went with the nurse, and I remember it was kind of like the walk of shame, like walking down the hallway, passing everyone in, all the nurse stations and things, and everybody knew but me. And I remember them looking at me like, oh, poor woman, you know, and I was angry. But I went in there and I saw her, and she didn't look any different. She just looked like she was asleep, except for her stomach was kind of distended. And so I remember holding her hand and asking God, why her? Not that I would have chosen one of my other children by any means, but I kept asking, why her? I don't understand why her, why her? We had a very, very, very close relationship, she and I. And, of course, I didn't get that answer right away, but I would get it soon. So when it came out, after we called everybody, and I had to keep telling people again and again and again, Lauren was in an accident. She died. I had to call her dad in Florida, and I remember everyone telling me on the phone, every time they heard the words, they'd say, you're kidding. And I'm like, no, I'm not kidding who kids. Don't ever say that, okay? Don't ever say that. It's a bad idea. I wouldn't kid about something like that. But anyway, when we came out, we were done making all of our phone calls. There were a lot of people in the parking lot. People, more people than I knew existed. I mean, there were people that were Lauren's friends and stuff from school. She was just getting ready to go into the 11th grade. So anyway, a couple of days later, we had a candlelight service in the parking lot of the elementary school, and over 300 people showed up for this candlelight service. And I kept thinking, why? Where were all these people when she was being bullied and when she felt like she didn't have a friend? I don't understand. All these people act like they were her friends. So it really upset me, and I thought for a minute. And 2 weeks later, I sent out a message on Facebook and said, anybody who wants to make a difference in their life, come to my house on this day. And I had a house full of people show up at my house. And that's when Rise Above was born. We ended up having a weekly anti-bullying group come to meet at my house every week, and we had up to 80 kids there. We just had tons of kids pouring out of the woodwork, coming every single week. And the news came, and the newspapers came, and it was a huge thing that really, really reached out to the kids of our community, and it was awesome. I don't know how I taught it every single week. I don't even know what I said, honestly, but I know that God was in it, because every week he gave me strength to do it. Every week he brought those kids there, and I was able to mentor a lot of them, pray for them. Wonderful, wonderful things were done through this group. So it ended up being amazing for about 2 years, and then I had to stop due to my health. My health started failing.
So through that, I mean, that story is just incredible. And what I love about it, though, is you took something, relied on God, and then took it and allowed God to still do an incredible work through it. So, and I think one of the things, too, is that God was doing an incredible work in you, too. So maybe share a little bit of some of the things that you learned both through the tragedy and even through Rise Above, and the fact that Rise Above did end within 2 years as well. So.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I really wanted to let you guys know that I learned was that time does not heal all wounds. God does. He does. Because no matter, it's been 6 years now, and I knew that I was going to struggle through this story today, so I was really nervous because it still hurts, and it always will hurt. But God, that's all I got to say, but God, he does awesome, amazing things. And I needed to look to Jesus, not to people, to fill the emptiness in me. Before, you know, there was the emptiness of not having a marriage that was fulfilling, and I would keep looking to another man, and I would never find what I was looking for. The emptiness of losing Lauren, you know, I tried to fill it with Rise Above, and I found out that that doesn't fill it either. Only God fills it. So it's just since I came here that I've really gotten a hold of being in love with Jesus. I always loved God before and, you know, tried my best to do the best that I could, but not until I came here did I realize it has nothing to do with me and what I can do. It has everything to do with what God can do and who he is. And the more that I get into his word, the more I figure out who he is and how awesome he is. And he's just amazing. When you're in love with God, serving's not hard at all. It's a joy. It's the highlight of my week is to come here and be with Student Life and, you know, sing to those kids, and just, they're amazing. And it doesn't matter if we have one kid. I'll come and I'll meet with that one kid. It's a blessing because God can do amazing things through people who love him. And I do love him.
You shared a little bit too, really serving and getting into the Bible and stuff. But what are some other ways that you continue to grow your faith and even overcome some of the things in the past? Because regardless of who we are, we all have a past of something that we need to overcome, where we need to rely on God. So what are some other ways that you completely rely on God?
Just recently, I've found out that it's really, really important. And I had gone on an Emmaus walk, you know, One of the things that they teach you at Emmaus is that it's really important to have an accountability group. And I knew that, but didn't really take it to heart until here just recently. Started meeting on a regular basis and having an accountability person. And we're accountable to each other. I've learned to start making goals. I have a little card that has all my goals, and my accountability partner has a copy of that. And so every week it helps me to stay on track. If I know I'm going to have to tell her at the following meeting, you know, what I've been doing and stuff. But another huge thing that if you're not doing it, totally you need to do it. Get up 30 minutes early and have that morning time with God. It is so important. And not just letting the Bible fall open to whatever verse happens to be that day, but I use a great devotional, My Utmost for His Highest, and my accountability partner uses that too. And we go there and read the devotional and then read the whole chapter, not just the verse that they're calling on. And sometimes God wants to speak to you through something else that's in the chapter. And then you journal. So you have to write down what God's saying to you that day. So I've had a lot of physical problems since Lauren died. And I was running 2.5 years ago and ripped a tendon. And so through the constant chronic pain and stuff, a lot of my journaling used to start out like, okay, God, you know, what do I have to do to get through this? When are you going to heal me? I'm looking up all the scriptures that have to do with healing, and I'm claiming those and stuff. And as you read through my journal, it becomes less about what can God do for me and more about what can I do for God. When I pray now, I don't pray for healing for that, because if he wants to use that, that's fine with me. I'll deal with that, because it's not dying on a cross, you know. He's been through worse. So for me, it's a matter of prayer is reporting for duty. It's not a laundry list of all the things that I want God to do for me. It's what can you do through me today, God? Who can I help? And just doing that and letting the focus be off of me all the time has really, really strengthened my love for him.
I think that nugget right there is that prayer is reporting for duty. That's probably going to go on Facebook a little later. But dude, that's just incredible. And I think through that, I mean, I love the fact that what you kind of shared with your journals, how it kind of changed. It was about you, and then it kind of transformed into where it started with the Bible. It started with God and then went to you. I think that's kind of one of the lessons I take away from even hearing your story. It's like, yeah, it could be about all of us, but I mean, the whole goal is like this whole thing, this whole Christianity, this whole thing of church, it's not about us, right? It's about God and how we move forward too. So share a little bit too, maybe how you, so you kind of shared how you have accountability, you have goals, somebody that keeps you accountable with those. Maybe share a little bit of how, so you rely on God, but you've kind of invited others into the process. So maybe share a little bit how you've invited others, maybe even with connecting with the church as well. So,
yeah, like I said, when I first came here, it was amazing. I came to the very last service that you guys had at the other building, and Julie Foster sat down beside me and talked to me for 10 solid minutes before church started, and I thought, wow. You know, I don't know what's going on at this church, but I want to be a part of it. Like, these guys are different. They're real. And so it's not about, and I was really afraid to take off the mask, you know, because you come to church and there's this mask that everybody wears, and most people, when they see me, like, oh, she's a little Christian girl. Look how good she is. No. If we could all just take off our masks and be real with each other, that alone does so much to pull other people in. I wanted to share, I was able to be real with someone earlier this week, and they ended up giving their heart to Christ. And that was amazing. So let me tell you, if you've never led anyone to Christ, it is the best feeling in the world. The best. I could not wipe the smile off my face for a solid 30 minutes after it happened. So yeah, connect with other people. It's really hard for me being an introvert. I'm the kind of person that comes and sits down, and if no one comes and talks to me, I don't talk to anyone. So it's real important that if you can reach out to someone else, even if it's just to sit and talk to them for 5 minutes, it can mean all the difference in the world. People are kind of looking for an excuse not to come to church. So when they come to a church and no one talks to them, guess what? They have an excuse not to come back. Connecting with your accountability partner, finding new people to love, I mean, reaching out and doing something for other people. And I do want to share a verse that's become my life verse. Well, verses. It's Psalm 41 through 3. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. Many will see it in fear and will trust in the Lord. And so I hope that through my story and through my new song that I have in my heart, that many will come to know Christ.
Amen. Well, Shannon, I want to just thank you for sharing your story. It's just an incredible, powerful story. And God's using you in incredible ways. So if you don't know, she is one of our serve team on our student life. And like, just amazing that she can pour into students as well. So I just want to thank you for sharing your story. It's incredible. I know I learned a ton from just sitting down with you. And I'm like, wow, okay. I think we all can walk away with that as well. So let me pray with you before we close here. So, dear Heavenly Father, God, I just thank you right now for Shannon. God, I thank you for her story. God, I thank you for her family. I thank you for everything that you've done and worked through to get her closer to you. And you do that for each and every one of us, God. And I just pray that we can live the faith out where we know it's more about relying on you and trusting you completely. It's that faith. It's that legacy that Shannon's leaving. It's that legacy that even Lauren, after her death, has a legacy because of Shannon's faith that will change others' hearts, change others' lives because of that faith. God, we just thank you right now for her. God, we pray that you go before them in every single day, every single moment, every single second, that you will be the comforter that she needs, that the family needs, God, as they go forward in life, God, and continue to serve you and to live for you. God, we love you and we thank you, and we just give Shannon over to you right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, let's give a round of applause for Shannon. So really, it's an incredible story, right? I think really what we can gain from it, I mean, there's takeaways for sure. There's something obviously we can take away from any story. And I think when you hear her story, it's a complete reliance on God. If we're going to live out our life of faith, if we want to leave a legacy to go through something even as tragic as losing a child, as losing a loved one, right, it's going to result in complete reliance on God. And for her, it was journaling as a way to rely on her, to scripture reading as a way to rely on God, right? And we need to do that in our lives as well. And then another thing is inviting others into the journey. Have somebody that can keep you accountable. Serve with somebody else so that you can have that person in that journey with you. She didn't talk about it, but she actually is one that like sends in a prayer request just about every week. So it's an honor for me to get to pray with her every week as well, because I feel like I'm invited into that journey to do that as well. So maybe for you, you just need to invite somebody to pray with you as well this week. But rely on God and invite others. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank you right now. God, we thank you for who you are. God, we thank you that you can work miracles through tragedies. And we thank you for this story, God, that will encourage us to live a life of faith as well. God, help us to rely more on you, God. God, help us to invite others in our walk with you so that we can go strong. And God, that we can leave a legacy of faith. God, we pray these things right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Life Change Church podcast. If you are here today and you're listening and you made a decision to follow Christ, we would love to hear about it. Or maybe you're here and you're listening and that God is asking you to make the next step with whatever that it is in your life. We would love to hear about it and partner up with you. If you would, go to www.mylifechangechurch.com and under the media section, please fill out the contact us information and let us know if you made a decision to follow Christ. Let us know what God is asking of you. And if you need prayer, we would love to partner up with you in prayer as well. We hope that you enjoyed the podcast and that it both encouraged and challenged you. Have a great week.